Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. The following is rated MA. Some people may find it offensive. It contains language, adult themes, and immature content, as well as fart jokes. There will be lots of fart jokes. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Right set. The crowd goes up, and the Newcastle Knights, they have stolen a victory. Oh, what about that for a shot? And it's on. Back to Sutton. Sutton! He scores.
This is the Weekly Wodge. Welcome, legends. Origin's over and the run to the semi-finals has officially begun. The top four, certainties. The next two, more than likely. The race for the last couple of positions in the eight is on, and it changes weekly as the comp heads north to Queensland. On this edition of the fastest and most complete rugby league podcast on the market, we've interviewed eight absolute superstars who give you their thoughts. See, this is where you actually get to listen to the names in the game. Let's rip in, legends. We marvel at the fullbacks, and in 2021, don't we have an amazing group of number ones? And if you analyse closely, the really cool thing is they're all very different type of players. One of the finest has dropped on in, Clint Gutherson. Like to get your thoughts on the strengths of some of your rivals. Sure, they've got multiple positives, and all of them have got complete skill sets. But is there one thing in particular that stands out to you about them? Let's start with AJ Brimson.
Yeah, Brimo, he's just a ball of energy. He's everywhere on the park. He's I think we saw last year a few times when he was on the field, he could score from anywhere, and I think the Titans are in really good hands with Brimo at the back.
What about James Tedesco?
Well, he's probably got the complete package, Teddy, but I think just the way he opens up a game from any position, he could be just taking a dummy half run and you just tackle, break three or four guys and then go the length and set someone up. So I think just the way he can break open a game like that just puts sort of so much doubt in the defender's mind.
Kalen Ponga?
Yeah, again, that step that he's got, he's yep. Stepping past, and everything that he does on the field is sort of magic. And I think sort of the best for Kalen's yet to come. And I think Newcastle should be very happy that he's with them.
What stands out about Ryan Papenhuyzen, mate?
Oh, obviously his pace. He's yep. Just lightning. He gets a half break or even a half chance. There's a little gap there. And I think he's so smart. His footy IQ is so high that he pops up in the right spots and gives himself that chance with his speed, because he's not the biggest bloke, but just finds that half gap and just busts straight through it.
He isn't the biggest bloke, but maybe the biggest fullback, Latrell Mitchell.
Yeah. Well, obviously everyone knows how good he is. And I think at the back with the likes of Cody Walker and Adam Reynolds, he's going to go to another level. And he could easily become the best fullback in the game in a very quick time. And I think teams that are versing him, you won't be able to defend him. He's that big. He's that skillful. He's got a kick. And he can pass. And look, it's going to be special when he really finds his straps.
We could go on and on. Gee, there's some talented fullbacks. Out of curiosity, who was your favourite fullback growing up and why?
My favourite was actually the Snake, Brett Stewart. Yeah. He when I was a kid growing up, I was always watching him. And I was lucky enough to sort of learn under him for a lot of years there. And we still keep in contact today, which is pretty cool. He always buzzes me every couple of weeks during the year and see how I'm going and catch up for a few beers. So it's that's a pretty special relationship that I'll always take.
Thanks for dropping in, King. Good luck on the weekend, mate.
Thanks, Andy.
Our next guest has the rare distinction of being an NRL and Challenge Cup winner. Jason Clark has lobbed 169 games for your beloved South Sydney. Is the 2014 Grand Final win the one that just stands out above all others?
Mate, it has to. It's what, you know, it's what you play NRL for. It's what you dream of as a kid, playing in the backyard, playing in the streets, kicking the ball around with your friends. And to say I've done it is unbelievable. You know, not a lot have said they've done it.
Yeah.
You know, looking back, the way it all unfolded, I couldn't tell you the games and the scorelines in them, but it was just a fairy tale ending.
It was a magical run into the grand final, and the grand final itself, the type of game for you young blokes who grew up idolising South Sydney, the stuff that dreams come true, where you almost could have thrown away your footy boots at the end of the game and retired and been a happy fella.
Definitely, mate. As a kid growing up, you know, you got friends who are fans of other clubs, and they give the banter of your club don't even have a coloured photo of your premiership winning team. But all those sort of banter can go out the window now, because they've got nothing on us now. And mate, the club's come a long way, and it's amazing to see where they're at today.
30-6, the grand final score. The scoreline suggests it was an easy game, an easy win. It was anything but. It was so brutal and so physical. It will go down as one of the toughest.
I can't disagree with you, that's for sure. Obviously, there's the start of the game with Sammy, with his face, playing, you know, 80 minutes with a broken face, unbelievable. Parts along the game that happened that just unfolded where it could have went either way.
Yeah.
Obviously, like you said, the scoreline doesn't show the way the game went. We scored a lot of tries towards the end of the game. They just kept coming at the end there. But, you know, looking back at it, it was just unbelievable the way it unfolded. Everyone just seemed at 100% or even more of their best ability they could be at. You know, looking at the team, looking at how physically fit everyone was, just being able to look at them when you stand along the line. And just even before the game, when we went out to do the lineup for the game, get to wait to do the national anthem, it was another thing. We were out there quite early or on time, but we were sort of out there by ourselves, and we got to soak it up, look at each other and really look into each other's eyes, look at the crowd, soak it all in. And the Bulldogs still weren't even out yet. We looked up on the big screen and they were still getting in the huddle.
Yeah.
In the shed. They're trying to take the piss here. So we just kept enjoying it, like nodding to each other, saying this, they're trying to do us, but this is even better for us. Because we were standing there for a good 8 minutes, soaking up the crowd, seeing our family, smiling at them, giving them a nod. And then they had to come out. We had to do the national anthem. We did a bit of another warm-up, then we kicked off. So all that last little bit for them was really rushed, I can imagine. But for us, it went so slow, and it was just enjoyable.
Can you pick faces out in the crowd with the adrenaline, with the noise, with the atmosphere? Are you calm enough that you can see loved ones, as you just said?
Well, like I just said, we had time too. Like I remember when we ran out, the roar just to go through your chest, through your body of the crowd. But then you come back into that line where you wait to do the national anthem, and we stood there for a good time. And our families were sort of just behind the bench of of our team. So we knew they were going to be close by, and you could catch eyes with them, and you know, everyone was there, just my family, and caught eyes, just give them a nod, and it was just perfect. It worked well for us.
Did you realise over that next week just how important footy can be for the fans, seeing the emotion of your achievements?
I think I probably understood it even more being a local kid.
Yep.
You know, we spent a whole week of celebrating, not as a team, but as a club. We took the NRL trophy up onto the Harbour Bridge. We took it to the town hall where the march led to get the club back into the comp. We did an open top bus around Maroubra, Coogee Beach, Randwick, all these places where I've grown up around. I went to school in Randwick. River Beach is my local. I proposed to my wife there. I met her there, and we swim there every weekend. We know everyone down there. And to go past there with the NRL trophy on the bus and see everyone that you know how much it means to everyone. You drive through Mascot, you see white rabbits still painted on the roads.
Wonderful memories. Thanks for dropping in, mate. Chat soon.
All the best, Andy. Take care, mate.
Are you following us on social media? We hope so. That way you'll get your say on topics of the week, latest news, debates and theories, and we'll keep you updated on who and what is coming up on the podcast, plus exclusive offers and free shit too. Social media handle. Now, a lot of thought has gone into this one. We can be found at The Andy Raymond on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. There was a featherweight boxer in the 1930s in the United States based out of Williamsburg, New York, by the name of Andy Raymond. Three fights, no wins, retired after getting knocked out in the second round in his final fight, and he's probably still got me covered. But what if your name was the same as a genuinely famous person? From the Bulldogs, Josh Jackson has joined us. The Josh Jackson basketballer in the NBA. What do you know about him?
Absolutely nothing.
So you're not a basketball fan like me either?
Nah, not at all. But I do know there is another Josh Jackson, Mighty Ducks actor.
There you go. Exactly right. Mate, it's obviously not basketball. What's your release away from footy? How do you turn off?
I've got a few hobbies. I guess the big one's fishing for me.
Yep.
Grew up loving fishing. Bought myself a little tinny a couple of years ago, and just get out on the water whenever I can, even if it's just by myself. I just love being on the water and throwing a line in.
Who are the most likely teammates to join you for a fish?
Corey Allen loves his fishing. I haven't been fishing with him yet, so I don't know how well he goes, but I don't mind taking people out just as long as they know how to bait a hook. I'm not a big fan of doing all the work while I'm out there.
Always a pleasure, mate. Chat soon.
Thanks, mate.
Our guest played 144 first-class games of rugby league all totaled, was and is a great footy mind who has comfortably moved into the coaching post playing. He played between 1997 and 2004. Willie Peters, the type of coaching you received as a player compared to the coaching players receive now. How similar or how different is it?
G'day, Andy. Mate, I think in some ways it can still be the same in a sense of footy is a simple game. And I think back then they gave really simple messages. I suppose what I try and do now is take that, you know, sort of mindset and philosophy around the way I coach now by keeping it simple. But the game's evolved so much. So there's, you know, obviously technology with GPS systems, analyzer, the way you watch, you know, videos and that type of thing, mate. So the game's evolved and you've got to grow with the times. But I think, you know, what they did really well back then was keep it simple.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's what I try and do now as much as I can. And if I do, you know, feel that I am sort of giving too much information and over detailed, you need to be detailed, but over detailed, I think I just sort of remind myself of the coaches that I had back then.
You hit the nail on the head and it's a real pitfall. I mean, technology advances, information increases. It can be a huge positive. It can also be a massive negative from a coaching perspective. There can be too much information to decipher and then hand on to a young man.
Definitely. So, for example, this morning we had a 10-minute arm wrestle, which is more or less a game. So in that 10 minutes, you feel that at times that you've got to give, okay, where'd we go wrong? And you're given three or four different things. And what do we do well? And you're given three or four different areas to work on. But could be as simple as one part of that game, one moment in that game, yeah, or whatever it may be, is what you need to focus on, and you get that right and you move forward and then you can concentrate on the next 10 minutes. But I think at times we can get too bogged down in giving too much information. At the end of the day, players respond to one or two key messages. As I say, mate, that's something we've got to keep reminding ourselves all the time.
With technology, sports science and information changes, and this is just a hypothetical, could an average young footballer be trained and programmed to become an NRL player or not?
With the technology side of it?
Yeah.
Mate, it's an interesting one because I didn't know a great deal about it when I played. Now, the way our GPS and we've got expert people in their expertise and they're in that field, they give us basically a data of how, you know, what the players are running for that session. They give you their Axel Diesel, which is basically their stop start, how fast they're running. They give you a range of different information, and all that is to prepare the players for above game speed. So what we call that. So you've got your at game speed, which is when they're playing. So what we sort of work towards over, you know, giving them worst case scenarios. Yeah. So I think, you know, we don't want to give the players too much information around what we're doing. We give them enough so they understand, because we're going crazy between drills at times to getting there quick, and it's all, you know, fast transitions. But yeah, as I say, mate, they need an understanding of what it's all about for them to get better, but also for us as a collective.
Awesome insight. Great chat. Thanks for dropping in, buddy.
Thanks, Andy.
Griffin Air Conditioning, the best of the best, servicing the Sydney metro area for both domestic and commercial air conditioning installations and maintenance. They've got it all. And Galaxy Finance, for all your financial needs, concerns or questions. If you've got a worry, any issues or just need some clarity, call them now. Both companies are offering specials for Unfiltered listeners. Contact them, tell them you heard about them on the Unfiltered podcast. They will sort you 100%. Their contact details are on our website, andyraymondunfiltered.com.au. Check them out there with direct links. They're the best and the best at what they do, and they're here to look after Unfiltered listeners. If you'd like to be part of the Unfiltered team, get in touch. Go to the website, andyraymondunfiltered.com.au. Hit the sponsorship tab. We've got several different levels of sponsorship that cater to all levels of business and budget. Get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. The Legends series, I love it. I hope you do too. You know, at any time, you can go back and listen to a Legends series interview. Actually, any of our podcasts, all of them are timeless. So it actually doesn't matter when you listen to them. And even though you may not have heard them when they first came out, they're timeless. They won't date and they will make sense. They're ready for you for when you're ready. Next week on the Legend series, the great man, Monty Beetham, with a remarkable story to tell. There's stories inside of stories, actually. The great man has dropped in this week. I love looking back, Mont. Who was the best you played with and why?
The best I played with, I'm just going to say Stacey Jones.
Yeah.
I played with a few greats, but, you know, when you've got someone who can lead, who can score a try, who can even at times embarrass the other people around you because he's taking the hit up when no one else will, he's got to be great. And also because for so many years, he was offered so much money to go elsewhere,
yeah,
but he stayed loyal to the club, man. He's a great man and as humble as they get. He's never liked the spotlight.
Who was the best you played against and why?
Mate, I always say there's two ways I do this. I go, if my life depended on it, there would be two players. Right? If you're going to a forward, it would be Gordon Tallis.
Yep.
He could intimidate. He could put a shot on. He could score a try. He could lead a team. And he could, you know, he could absolutely motivate. He would be that forward that I want. The other one would be Andrew Johns as a back.
Yeah.
Once again, there's nothing he can't do. He can run. He can score tries. He can kick. He can lead a team. He can come up with one of those inspirational shots. He can give you a spray. So for me, those two are the huge leaders that, you know, are the complete all-rounders in terms of what you want within a team. Probably the first players named on a team.
Who is your biggest rival? The one guy in the opposing team that you knew it was going to be a tough day but an enjoyable day?
Oh, look, there's so many. I don't know, but look, I always knew playing against Ruben Wiki. This is before he came and played with us at the Warriors. I had so much respect for him, but I always used to know where he was so that I could try and be somewhere else.
Yeah.
But so great to later on in life to have a relationship with him and play on the same side and look up and realize he's on my team and not against me. A wonderful man.
Favorite game? Is there one that stands out above the rest?
Look, I think one of the biggest memories for us was in 2001 and making the playoffs for the first time as a club, the New Zealand Warriors. When we drew that game and we actually dropped our heads thinking that we didn't do enough to go make it through to the finals. Yeah. It was a tough game because they're a very good Melbourne Storm team until the trainers ran out and said, we're in, you're in. So for that moment itself, I think it's one of the great games. But then also the blackout at SFS. When you had our man Eric Watson buying all those tickets, you know, that was amazing. It was against Canberra. I think Bugarelli dropped the ball over the line and we were able to progress and go through. That was one of the hardest games, physical games I've ever been involved in. Even to this day, Ruben Wiki has said the same. It was phenomenal.
Thanks for dropping in, Mont.
Always a pleasure, brother.
We go over Monty's career in rugby league and boxing next week on the Legends series, including the story about his NRL debut when he put one on the chin of his childhood hero. With Origin just gone, a cool time to reflect, episodes 40 and 41 were titled Born Maroon with the great man Brent Winton Tate. Moving team, moving country. It's a big ask for a young country boy from Queensland.
Yeah, it was, absolutely. And I was at the club where I had a physio like Robbie Gilbot, where I had complete and utter faith in him, to a new club, new physio, new staff that I probably didn't trust. So I had some issues there with, in my own mind, getting my head around it. Not only moving country, but, you know, that was probably the biggest thing I really struggled with. And I remember one day at training, or after training, I said something to Pricey. He's like, oh, we did it at the Broncos like this, because Pricey, obviously my brother-in-law, was there. And that, my 3 years there was bloody awesome, by the way. I loved every minute of it. But I remember one day at training, I said, oh, you know, we do it like this at the Bronx. I remember Pricey stopping, and he grabbed me by the shirt, and he goes, well, you're not at the fucking Broncos now. You're at the Warriors, and there's more than one way to skin a cat, and just sort of threw me like that. And I was like,
hey, bro.
Yeah, but it was, I was like, you know what? I am at the Warriors.
Yeah.
There are different ways of doing things, and get on board with what they do here. But, mate, I was always like, oh, shit, okay. Yeah.
That's a growing up moment, isn't it? Like, it's a young bloke with a lot of confidence. Maybe being taught a lesson or helped along the journey by an older guy.
Oh, 100%. Because it was. I was like, oh, they do this at the Bronx. And I probably didn't realise I was doing it. But it took that moment to say, hey, mate, you're not there anymore. You're here. And there's more than one way to skin a cat.
It is almost impossible to think that the clouds gathered again 18 months later. Same injury, other knee. Heartbroken, is that how you sum it up?
I felt like I'd let everyone down at the Warriors. I really felt a sense of like I'd just let people down, and I hate that feeling. I guess that's one of the things that drives you to be a good rugby league player, is you don't want to let anyone down. And I really felt like I'd let them down, because, again, I was a marquee signing. I was on really good money, which I was really sensitive about. Like, I wanted to give them value for what they'd paid. And definitely did my knee because of the rehab. Mate, I was pretty much running around on one leg doing the rehab, and that whole season I came back, well, I pretty much played on one leg the whole year, and there's just no doubt I was always going to do that other knee. And, yeah, it was a huge disappointment, Andy. I was really upset because, again, I just let people down, or felt like I did.
The Penrith Panthers' depth is one thing that doesn't always get mentioned a lot, but there's multiple players challenging for most positions. I would imagine, as a result, training can get super competitive. It has to be. Paul Momorowski has joined us. Is that right, mate? Is training full on?
Yeah, the skill level of the boys that we have in the squad, there's you could put a few players in the same sort of position and you get almost the same results. Like, the skill level there and the way that these boys have been coached for years now, and the natural progression of them over the last few years, it's showing even in the younger boys, the way those boys in their 20s have come up to NRL now. Like, they're all first graders in the making, the ones that even haven't played yet. So yeah, the amount of talent there and the amount of competitiveness there is, but it's healthy competitiveness. Everyone still wants to help each other, and that's a positive. That's probably why everyone there has grown so much and are at the level they're at, is because people are willing to help.
As good as the side is at the moment and was last year and will be next year, there's more coming through, and that's the scary part. As you just said, the 20s players, or even if you go back to ball, there is a production line that is just pumping them out.
Yeah, definitely. New South Wales Cup's lost one game, I think.
Yep.
They've lost one game. 20s is doing well. And if you go, like you said, go down the grades, they're all doing well. So it's just, to be fair, Penrith have always had strong juniors.
Yep.
They've always had strong juniors. And now, I guess, with Ivan coming in and setting the standards up in NRL and the way that the team's going, it flows down. There's no doubt about it.
Speaking of Ivan, there's a stereotype of a rugby league coach that they yell, they scream, there's always blow-ups. That's not Ivan. He is a very cool, very calculated type of dude. But when he does go off, it records, but that's not him as a bloke.
I think when you hear with a lot of emotion in his voice, it's warranted.
Yep.
And to be fair, since I've been there, there hasn't been too much for that for it to happen. But yeah, he's a great coach and a great person to sort of be under. Knows when to sort of assert himself in that way, and in every other way, he's a great coach. Like, I think people, when you look at different personalities as coaches, everyone's got their own way. Not more than one way works, but Ivan's temperament with this squad works.
Him and Nathan, so much alike, but also so very different in a couple of ways as well, aren't they?
Yeah, Nathan's doing what Nathan does, and it's kind of, I didn't know what to expect with that relationship in a football team, but it works, and yeah, Nathan himself is a freak. It's impressive to watch up close.
Thanks for dropping in, mate. Great insight. Love the chat as always, and we'll do it again soon.
No worries. Thank you.
...247 games for his beloved Tigers, as well as plenty of Origin and Test match footy. The great Buttocks, Paul Sirenham, was a superstar of the 80s and 90s. Sons Curtis and Bailey are doing their thing now. Bailey is lobbed. Do you recall anything of Dad playing, or is it all just on video?
Yeah, it's all on video for me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen a few photos of us walking around on his last game and that sort of stuff, but unfortunately I don't remember much of it. But
That's pretty cool, the last game, both you and Curtis in a heap of photos and video.
Yeah, it is awesome. It is awesome to see, and, you know, it's something that one day I'd like to do with kids of my own, and, you know, very proud of what Dad managed to do in his career.
Second generation footballer, the son of a famous dad. Does it make it easier? Does it make it harder? Or doesn't it matter?
I think it changes as you grow up.
Yep.
As a younger kid, you know, a lot of people, you know, you're easily influenced. A lot of people get in your ear saying you only make certain teams because of your old man and stuff like that. But then I think Curtis probably faced the brunt of it more than I did, being the first child. So I just sort of went through. I didn't really mind what people were saying, and I think your footy speaks for yourself. So
I found it. My dad was in commentary with motor racing, and a shitload better at it than I'll ever be. It opened doors because of the famous surname, but once you got there, I found people were actually a little harder on you. Difficult to cop at the time, but your learning curve and your improvement is so much better because you've been treated harshly and or hardly. You've had to learn some real lessons.
Yeah, I think there's always that expectation as well to sort of live up to it.
Yep.
And that sort of forces you to prove people wrong, and that's sort of how I went about it. I didn't want people thinking that, you know, I was only there because of a name. So, I think it forces you to work harder.
Does Big Paulo give you advice, or does he let you learn on the run?
A bit of both. He's actually really good at knowing when to and when not to.
Nice.
So, you know, after a good game, he'll tip you up on things you did well and things you didn't do so well. And, you know, if you're a bit down in the dumps, it might just be a kind word or something like that. So he's actually really good at it.
Want to win an unfiltered trucker's hat? Go to Apple, Spotify or wherever you're listening and subscribe to the podcast. Then simply give us a 5-star rating and review. Write whatever you want. We don't care. It's the stars that matter. Funniest weekly review wins the prize. Simple. It's that easy to win. The winner of this week's Unfiltered Series 1 Trucker's Hat is Dello Stevo 66 for this review on Apple Podcasts. Get into it. Get onto it. Unfiltered rocks. Love it, big fella. Well, I love you too, big fella. Thanks for your kind words and review. You could win too. All you need to do is, once you're finished listening here, take 30 seconds on the app you're using and write a review. Make it stand out. You could win the hat. That's us for this week. A bit of footy talk, a few laughs, and some random stuff too. Still funny. Doesn't matter how old you are. Have a cracking week, legends. Beer in each hand, a palmy in the front, and let's hope all your bets are winners.